This is where things get tense in Mark's gospel after this confrontation. Already in chapter 3, the Herodians and the Pharisees, deadly enemies, came together and agreed they had to kill Jesus. So that the death sentence hangs over the whole gospel. We all do that, don't we? We make up our own little rules, and then we tell God he's got to keep them. Well, he doesn't. And so, this is good to do all these things, but if it means you're not even taking care of your father and mother, there's something wrong. And the whole point is, see, whatever you'd have from me is korban, so they can give it away, a percentage of it, and keep the rest. And it's not just a liturgical misapplication, it's greed. But let's look at this gospel for a moment. I mean, the first reading, and I know we don't have forever. But this is a very poetic text. It's describing reality in terms of symbol, and trying to show forth this inexplicable wonder of Adam, of man. Now, man is male and female. And this inexplicable wonder, directly addressed by God. And so we don't have the whole text, but this is a tradition. Probably the one, the commentators will say there's a very old tradition written under the kingship of David, where they call God Yahweh. And then this is a later one. And then they're put together, as you know. I mean, you just read. This is Genesis 1, you go to 2 and 3, you get this older creation and the story of the sin, which explains why we're in a mess. But let's look at this one for a moment. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you when you read this. You know, what a wondrous thing Adam is. He's matter, but he's matter who's called to transforming union with the Trinity. And so this runs the gamut of everything created. And it's said in such a poetic way. So this man is, you know, using some of the best science of the day. Let the water teem with an abundance of living creatures. You know, if you don't have all our scientific stuff, you go to the pond and there's nothing going on, and you go back a week later and there's little frogs jumping all around the place. How did that happen? The water must have provided that. Well, we know we're much smarter. We're not really, but because we don't know it comes from God. So we're pretty stupid. And so goes through this, you know, the swimming creatures. In one of the Psalms, these huge leviathan kind of thing. And God made them to play with, the Psalm says. There's such, it's too deep and too beautiful and too captivating not to be described in any other way. You see, now this man also has in mind Shabbat. So God's creation is to set up Shabbat. The Shabbat we have now and the Shabbat we'll have forever. And so it goes through all of that. We don't have it. Wish we did. But anyway, then he said, let us, who's around except God? Why does he say us? Let us, you see. The fathers of the church, you see, there's an intimation of the Trinity already, even though these great mystics didn't, You know? Okay. In our image. Now, what does that mean? Man is made in the image of God. Selim, the word is. You see? Because he can act like God. This whole universe has been placed at our disposal to govern it rightly and justly and humbly and frugally. And we don't. And the greatest of these abuses, of course, is abortion. Here we're talking about the wonder of Adam. And Adam is male and female. You remember how the text says that? Let us make Adam, b'salmenu, in our image, k'dumotenu, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. So God created Adam, b'salmenu. In the divine image, he created him, male and female. He created them. So, Adam is male and female. And this incredible, and then the mystery of fruitfulness. God loves life. God blessed them. And every blessing of God is for life. So he blessed them. Be fertile, be fruitful, and multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Everything belongs to you. What a gift. Now, can you imagine who these mystics were? You know, they were writing this down about 1000 BC, but it's a tradition that goes back maybe another 1,000 years. What a vision. I can't help thinking this wonder of Adam and then abortion. I mean, this mystic filled with poetry has God observe a week. First day, second day, third day, till he gets to Shabbat. Then it's completed. There's no completion without rest and appreciation. Even at the French Revolution, you know, they hated this stuff. So they divided the period into 10 days. Well, nobody liked that, so they had to stop it. But it was just eliminate any divine influence, you see. And so then God looked at everything he had made and he found it tov meod, very good. That's, of course, in modern Hebrew. You know, zetov meod. Ah, that's really fine. You know, we use it too much. Tov meod. And so God blessed the seventh day and made it kadosh, holy. That means separate from the other days. Why? So we can worship God. And this is the completion of creation. Not the locomotives or the atom bombs or the praise of God is the completion of creation. Shabbat. Pope has a lovely, Pope John Paul II has a lovely little treatise on Shabbat. It's what humanizes us. You know? If every day I have to work every day, all day, all day, I must be the one keeping the world going. But I'm not. God is. And so he takes one day, Shabbat, and says, that's the day. Now notice, and then I promise I'll quit because I'm probably too long already. No, I got 2 more minutes by my clock. Anyway. You see, the days, the months, the years, are all measured by the movement of the cosmos, right? The earth spinning around, and then it's going around, the sun and all that stuff. But Shabbat is measured by the word of God. There's nothing cosmic about the seventh day. It's the word of God day. That's the dignity day. No matter who you are, stop and worship. You want to play golf in the afternoon, that's okay, but not all day. This is the day to worship God. Shabbat. Now do you see the implication when his disciples are taking some corn ears, you know, little wheat ears, really, as they go through the Shabbat? And that's okay. But the Pharisees are jumping him, right? And listen to what he says. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That divine enactment, I'm the Lord of it. That's a very powerful claim for his identity, like forgiving sins. In fact, the two verbs, barach, to create, and salach, to forgive, they only have God as their subject in the whole of the Bible. But he gives us this command now. He rested on the seventh day. That's what completes it. We produce. Do you ever step back and take a look and say, that's really nice? No, we don't do that. Got to produce something else. Our dignity is in our production. No, it's not. It's in our love. And so, I know I'm going to quit right now, I promise. But you see, these two little texts are stuck here before we start Ash Wednesday. But they are primal, foundational. Who are you? You are the image of God, which means what? You can rule. And what does rule mean? Direct the universe, but 1/7 of your time is given to worshiping God and resting with God. God rested, can't you? You see? Amen.